Copy 724, roger. Send and maintain 2000.
Send and maintain 2000, 74.
Doesn't have 5
and 504 to send and maintain 3000.
Whatever, 302 for takeoff.
Copy 724,
on tonight's episode of Afterburn, airplanes are crashing. Ronies, are they a cancer? And whatever Loki's going to talk about.
Running up your engine, listen to the howling roar. Begging you to touch and go.
Welcome to Afterburn, the only show that picks up like nothing happened. I'm Drake. And I'm joined tonight by Hammy, who likes to drive rice boilers, and our special guest host, Loki, the mischievous god of scrambles.
Hello.
Hello. Our first story tonight is bronies. What is a brony, you ask? Well, it's a horrible epidemic sweeping the nation made up of male fans of the television show My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
My little pony, ah.
Okay, so what are they? They are adult male fans of My Little Pony.
How did you come across this?
The internet is a horrifying place, and because the internet is a horrifying place, and because I'm an artist, and I hang out on the internets, everybody and their brother and their brother's dog and their brother's dog's fleas, for whatever reason, was drawing My Little Pony. I can't figure it out. All the artists I respected were drawing it, and then all of a sudden I started watching this show, and I got very confused.
The show is quite confusing. I remember Drake yesterday was forcing me to sit down and watch it, and I have to say, the show is surprisingly funny.
I've never actually seen it. What happens on the show?
Basically, you have... It's sort of standard formula TV kind of stuff. It's all Aesop's fables and nonsense. And you have the six primary cast members who have their little adventures in Equestria. And it's,
Is it actually called Equestria?
It is called Equestria.
Of course it is.
Yes, it is. So, basically they run around, they have their little adventures, and then things happen, and they get in trouble, and they get out of trouble. It's, like I said, standard TV formula stuff. And they explore their concepts of friendship, which is magical.
Friendship is magic. I guess it says it in the title.
But, yeah. So this this ridiculous television show has now sparked this new ridiculous little fandom of people doing artwork and re-editing the show and just generally being really geeky about a little girl's TV show.
Well, I think – I don't exactly know what brought about the style of writing and the humor in the show. My first thought was the adult humor and the sarcastic old-school Warner Brother kind of sense of dread that you get when you watch some of those cartoons. I thought that was brought about for all the poor fathers that are forced to sit down and watch the show with their daughters. And that was my initial thought on that. And I'm glad they put it in because it made the show interesting.
I don't think it's so much that. I think it's that it's just written for everybody. It's one of those new era cartoon shows where they don't write down to anybody. They just write the show and then it works.
So this is something that's actually on TV.
It is on TV.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Sweeping the nation, infecting our youth.
It is infecting.
Now I see why you said epidemic.
Yes.
Well, see, what was really funny was usually when you watch a kid's show, there's some kind of moral or learning experience from it. And they had, what was it, the five elements of magic?
And the pilot. The pilot the pilot has absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the show. So
no, but I mean, I just...
There's no point reading into it.
I couldn't believe it when I was watching this because they had like the five elements of magic. And it was so funny because there was the element of kindness, the element of reassurance, the element of loyalty, which actually kind of makes sense. There was a fourth element in there, but then the last girl was like, and I represent the element of magic. And I'm like, these things have nothing to do with each other, you know?
I represent the element of surprise. Die!
Well, what I love is that the show, beyond the ridiculous nonsense, what I love about this show is that from a philosophical standpoint, it's really messed up. Because you have basically the two gods that run the world get into a fight.
Princesses.
Yeah, but, well, they are gods. They have the power to raise the they make the world work. So they are like the gods of this world.
They are blasphemers.
Yes. they banish one to the moon, and then there's some nonsense. And then basically these pony characters are at the beck and call of their god.
Which they refer to as a princess.
Yeah. And their god occasionally comes down and gives them these really ridiculous missions, like going and fighting dragons and all sorts of
Zeus nonsense. Much?
Yeah, it's it's like, I don't know who...
It's Hercules' pony.
Yeah.
Well, just about.
Go fight the Hydra!
Yo, they actually have to fight off a gay dragon at one point.
There actually is a Hydra in the show. And actually, because there are Hydras and dragons and things that are constantly trying to kill the cast, I keep wondering how this is actually a girls' cartoon show.
what's hilarious is, all ponydom is like 99.5% female. There's like three male characters, a baby dragon, a big-ass horse, and a stallion. And all the rest in this thing are female. So I'm wondering how the society continues to operate.
Well, there's male ponies here in the background. You don't see them much.
Yes, but they're not important.
No, they're not.
No, it's a girl show, they're not important.
And most of the men in the show are dumb, so I'm like, okay, so is this like a... Are nation's youth growing up to be feminists?
Well, it's going on... I think it's going on the premise where women are for Venus and men are dumbasses.
There you go.
To an extent. But yeah, there's just... It's so colorful.
It is.
I would imagine so.
It almost gave me a headache watching the first episode, but... Like I said, you feel so emasculated watching the show, but at the same time, it's just so funny. The slapstick humor in it, and the surprising falls, and the fact that the cast, the real annoying horse, even the rest of the cast can't stand her. So when she starts to break out in song, they're like, she isn't, is she? And she starts singing like, oh god, she is. And while she's singing like, would you shut up, you know? So it's not your typical... Let's hold hands and be friends kind of thing. And it's just funny watching these guys dread it when the singing horse begins to sing.
You see, I was thinking about maybe going to watch it, but now I'm not.
Well, what, you don't want to be a brony?
No.
I'm going to love and tolerate the shit out of you. So anyway.
You do that.
All right, well, before we end up losing ratings here, I think it's time to move on to a new subject. Unfortunately, tragedy has befallen the Reno Air Races.
Breaking news right now, a plane has crashed into the stands at an air show in Reno, Nevada.
What we know is that at least three people are dead, including the pilot. Also, 50-plus people have been injured.
He crashed his P-51 right into the audience at the Reno Air Races. And watching the footage, I cannot tell how this happened. Because he is literally in a nosedive. It went right into the box where like all the rich people go. They get their own little special box. They're kind of like Yankees. And it just went right into the audience and kind of disintegrated as it hit the ground. And I'm wondering how that happened, because he came in higher than the races actually happened. And when they race in the horizontal. They pitch 90 and they race around the pylons. So I don't know how this happened, but this is going to hurt the aviation industry, in my opinion.
It probably will, because whenever any accidents like this do happen, and whenever anybody is killed, especially in the United States and especially like rich people, somebody comes around and says, look at that horrible, dangerous aviation stuff. We need to do something about it. And this is well done. This is well known throughout aviation history, where, like, things like the Hindenburg disaster, where
a handful of people even hurt and killed in the Hindenburg disaster?
Well, about half the people on board died.
But it still wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it was a bad accident, but considering that whenever a plane goes down, everybody on the plane dies and only half the people in the Hindenburg died, I think that's vaguely okay. But because it was such a big spectacle, because it was on camera and there was planes and people running, and yes, and that man.
It killed Zeppelins.
Yeah, it just killed... It really did kill rigid airships. And then there were some other things that have gotten occasionally killed.
Well,
like Airbuses. I hate Airbuses.
I will not fly on an Airbus. For Loki and some of our viewers here, I'm going to explain why I believe Airbus will be the death of flying.
Why don't you first explain what an Airbus is? I've never heard that.
You familiar with the names Boeing and,
yes.
and Lockheed Martin and stuff like that?
Yes.
Well, Airbus is the French company. And there's a big problem there. It's French. But Airbuses operate on a fly-by-wire system on crack. Basically, what fly-by-wire does is it's designed to help fine-tune the pilot's flying. As you begin to roll the airplane, the nose is going to fall. So you have to add top rudder to keep the nose up. Well, the fly-by-wire does it automatically. It keeps your nose pointing level. What Airbus does is it totally was designed to take the pilot out of the equation. So basically what the pilot does is he pretty much monitors the plane as it flies. And so many problems have happened because of that. A big one was the Paris Air Show disaster. This guy was flying and had his co-pilot and about 12 reporters on board. He was going to do a low approach over a runway with his landing gear and flaps down. The airplane said, "You're landing." The pilot said, "I'm doing a low approach." Added throttle, and nothing happened. He went into the trees at the end of the runway because the plane thought he wanted to land, and the plane was correcting for the pilot's actions.
Huh.
Pretty scary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, a little.
And the worst part was I did the summer internship, which is pretty much the episode we did right before we ended, and I met an Airbus pilot, and he told me a horror story about how they tried to descend, and nothing happened. They added and reduced throttle, they moved the flight stick, and the plane was frozen. They noticed their instrumentation was solidly locked. They had to do a hard reset by taking a panel off, pulling the wire out, and putting it back in so the system would reset itself. There was no manual backup on that or that airplane.
And this was all mid-flight.
This was all mid-flight. There was 18 minutes since they noticed the problem to when they had the problem fixed. Not to mention however long the problem happened before these pilots even noticed it. And so now, if my ticket says Airbus, I will not fly on it. I flat out refuse to fly on Airbuses.
Why? I flat out refuse to fly on Airbuses because they run on Windows.
Basically, the operating system is very similar to Windows.
Really?
Or is it Windows?
I don't remember if it's actually Windows. I want to say that it's probably not actually Windows, but it looks a hell of a lot like Windows.
I would imagine it wouldn't be entirely Windows. That doesn't seem right, but...
No, well, but the system is almost identical
to
Windows.
It's based on it, maybe.
Well, here's the thing. It's either Windows or it's Linux. And neither one of those two things are things that you really want to run an airplane on.
No, not really. They're not made for that.
No. I mean, just the idea of an airplane specifically designed to take the pilot out of the loop. I'm sorry. I'm a pilot. Drake's a pilot. Loki's been on an airplane before. So
he's seen an airplane.
He's part of the flight
system. I've been in one. I was close to the pilot seat.
But I look at that, and it scares me. I mean, literally the concept of the airframe scares me, and it kills me because you take a close look at the airframe, and it's beautifully done for the kind of airplane that it is.
No, it really isn't. Airbuses are the most boring, drab, and awful airplanes I have ever seen in my entire life.
I think the wing shape is prettier than a Boeing.
The Boeing 737 has so much more soul than
you're going old school with that. I'm talking about modern aircraft.
Even the 787, as drab and awful as that is, the 787 has much more soul than any Airbus creation ever.
Leaving that up to opinion, the fact that they would design a nice airframe and then just throw it all away with this technology. Now, I'm a big fan of technology. I'm all about hydraulic or boosted controls and fly-by-wire, but an airplane flying itself, no. So I have a feeling that one day Airbus will be a major contributor to the death of aviation.
Speaking of airplanes flying itself, that's, I guess, part of the issue of our P-51 point there is, was that airplane flying itself into the ground, or was the pilot passed out, or what happened there? We don't know.
We don't know. I mean, there was that incident a couple months ago where the Sky Raider flew into the P-51. Sky Raider, again, for Loki's sake, Sky Raider was an airplane that invented at the end of World War II, used well into Vietnam. And they were doing a flyby, and as the P-51 pulled up and away, the Sky Raider pulled up too aggressively, lost sight, tried to correct, and ran into the back end of the P-51. Now, it tore the wingtip off the Sky Raider, but the Sky Raider was able to land. The P-51 just slowly fell out of the sky, and the pilot managed to bail out. You take a close look at the footage, you can see the control line, or the wing would cut well into the fuselage and probably cut the control lines. But the pilot at the Reno Air Races wasn't hit. So I'm wondering why he lost control.
Now that brings up another question. And it's something I've always kind of wondered, but it's something I've just thought of.
What's that?
And that is, how durable exactly are P-51s?
Well, they were a World War II fighter.
Well, see, here's the thing. They were a World War II fighter, and they were a really good World War II fighter. And they were like one of the quote-unquote war winners, one of the many things.
One of the many things that contributed to the war winning.
One of the many war winners, quote-unquote. But the P-51, it won a lot of fights, and it was very good at winning fights. you don't really hear about too many of them losing, but it kind of makes you wonder, how durable is it? Is it kind of a glass jaw fighter, like where if it actually got hit, it would be in trouble, or, you know, can this thing take a lot of hits before it goes home?
Well, I do know the one weakness, one significant weakness the P-51 had, is you'd have to put one bullet right behind the intake, and you hit the coolant, and you have about 30 minutes before the engine overheated and locked up.
Well, it's less the same problem with any radiator.
Yeah, but something like a P-40 that was air-cooled, or a Corsair with a big radial engine didn't have those problems.
P-40s were not air-cooled.
I'm sorry. No, not P-40. Not P-40. P-47. Sorry. I was thinking radial engine stuff. Not P-40. My bad. But P-47 is what I meant. But yeah, you know, those things with those big radial engines could take a beating like that. I know that was a weakness the Mustang had. But, well, again, I don't think the Reno pilot was shot.
No, well, what I'm saying, though, is like, well, and to another point, though, the P-40 can take a lot of hits, too. But the thing about the, what I'm saying, though, is how well does it hold up to, say, being hit by another airplane, or how well, slightly hit by another airplane, or how well are those control cables made?
So you're thinking maybe the G-forces of this high-speed turn can we snap a few control cables?
Maybe.
But then why didn't he go up, out of the way, come over the racing line, and then down straight to the vertical? What led him to come straight down that close to the audience, 90 degrees to the position of flight, and nose first into the ground?
Well, that's why I think that he was either unconscious or something was broken.
Again, I'm curious about that.
Because who would do that on purpose? Now, another problem that's going to come up, and again, back to media killing aviation because of this nonsense, is apparently the pilot was old. He was, what, 74?
Was he that old?
I think that's what they said. Maybe I might be wrong. For all I know, he might have been 40.
I think, because looking at his picture, he didn't look that old.
Yeah,
well, I think he might have been in his 40s and 50s, but yeah, old picture too. I don't know. Yeah,
but if he was old at all, like if he was above 60, the media is going to have a field day with that and go, well, he was an old person flying an airplane.
And a lot of retired Air Force airline pilots are going to lose their job because the FAA is going to have to crack down on age because of this incident. They're going to be like, oh, well, the media said this, so we need to do something about it. The FAA is going to get in trouble. So nobody above 60 can fly, and lots of pilots will lose their jobs.
And I remember even it was Sean Hannity or somebody said something ridiculous like, you know, why do we need to have airplanes flying this low over a crowd or something?
Why do we need to have NASCAR?
Yeah. Why do we have racing?
Why do we have the UFC? Why do we have baseball?
Why do we have proper motorsport? Why do we have GT racing? What is that? Things explode in GT racing all the time.
People break their legs in football a lot. I mean, come on.
I just want to make a comment here. Listening to you two talk about all this is like, I guess now I know what it feels like when people listen to me and my other friends talk about computers.
Is this what it's also like for you when you hear guys talking about girls?
My insinuation is that you are gay, sir.
I was going with virgin, but that works too.
My insinuation is that you are a virgin, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway. All right, so I'm the new guy because I'm filling in for Atari since he's where, California now?
He's in California. He was in San Diego, now I think he's in L.A.
All right. I don't know why he's there, but please come back. I can't keep doing this.
He's investigating murders in old Hollywood.
Did you get off that video game? God.
No. Are you talking about L.A. Noir?
Yes. His new name is Cole Phelps, and now he is investigating murders in Los Angeles.
Mirror's Edge was a better video game.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Some of the reviews I heard Mirror's Edge was not that great.
Mirror's Edge is a fun, leave your brain at the door, easy playing, just relax and play kind of game. It doesn't require much thinking. It's a fun, just kind of go with it kind of game.
It's interesting. What killed it was the ending and just sort of the lack of replay value because you go through the same exact maps all the time.
You go through the same exact maps. You have some different routes you can take, but for the most part, it's the same thing.
I don't know the concept of a first-person. See, what kind of game is it?
It's a free-running. Free-running,
like, kind of platformer-ish.
It was really creative and original.
I mean, it's an interesting concept, but it's, I don't know.
I heard rumors that they're working on the sequel. I can't wait to see it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
See, the listeners that are gamers are going, why are they talking to, are we, there's Lost, there's L.A. Noire and Mirror's Edge. Mirror's Edge came out like 3 years ago. What's going on?
What happened to Atari?
Well, I found Mirror's Edge because my roommate had the demo on his PS3 and I checked it out and I was like, oh, cool. So I found it really cheap and used. I was like, yes.
Yes. Bargain Bin Gaming. Bargain Bin Gaming Reviews. Yes, this is what we're doing now.
I liked...
I can do that. That I can do.
Oh, welcome. Well, welcome to the club, Loki. Okay, well, on that note, review game. What you got?
Well, let's see. I play my PSP a lot lately.
What have you played on your PSP recently?
Yes, sir, tell us what you have played.
Well, I'm an RPG fan, so...
Did you play 7?
7?
No, not 7. Did you play Final Fantasy 7, the new little Crisis Core nonsense?
I have played Crisis Core.
How did you like it?
It took a little getting used to, because the battle system was a little odd, but it's fun. And at least the boss battles are freaking amazing.
Yeah. That's kind of my opinion of it, actually. It was fun, but I'm not sure if it's...
It's like there was too many side quests.
Yeah.
I was like, good God. I was near the end of the game, and I had been doing a bunch of the side quests on this. I'm just like, all right, see how many more I have to go. There's like 50 here, and I don't feel like doing them all. Screw it, I'm going to end the game, because I'm going to be too...
Yeah.
I don't know. If I did all the side quests, I would have just slaughtered everything at the end, which I already pretty much did.
Yeah, I was...
And that's not fun.
I don't even think I got through half of them. I just, like, slogged through about, I don't know, 50 of them or something. I was like, I've had about enough of this. Stop sending me emails about all these different quests I need to do.
I really want them to remake Final Fantasy Awesome. I mean, Final Fantasy VIII. Final Fantasy VIII, my favorite.
Final Fantasy VIII is actually probably my favorite also, next to 7.
Ha ha.
Well, see, this is an argument that I have with everybody, because I really liked 8's design theme, and I really liked 8's music.
8's music was amazing. I don't care what anyone says.
I absolutely hated the characters, and I hated the story.
See, I can understand that, quite honestly, coming from... I can really understand hating the characters. I personally love the characters, except Selfie. Trains. I love Trains.
She's the Pippi Longstocking haircut and all that?
Yeah, and like Trains were her crack.
Well, you had emo Git, and then you had his hot teacher, and then you had...
Well, he gets better near the end. He gets better in, like, the...
He's referring to the black leather and the haircut.
Oh, well, the appearance, yes, but, like, his personality improves at the end of the second disc.
But he was very emo at the beginning. I'm quiet, motionless, leave me alone, and next thing you know...
But he has a reason for that.
And then you've got the bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, then you've got the bad guy who was the bad guy because...
Because.
Because. And
yeah, that's one little thing with it. It's just like, he's...
And the man with the insults of a 12-year-old is like, oh yeah, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, chicken wuss?
I don't know, I love that part, just because it gets such a reaction out of Zell. It's really funny.
What's funny is he's rocking the Mike Tyson tattoo as a boxer long before Mike Tyson ever had that
tattoo.
I know,
that's really...
So it makes me wonder, did Mike Tyson play the game?
Apparently. I like to think so.
So
you Bojo, those boards don't work on water.
I do want them to remake it, because anyway, at the time, the special effect, or the graphics were ahead of the time.
The FMVs were really, really good at that time.
You can even see, like, the moisture in the eyes and stuff like that.
Even... like the very first FMV, the intro video, what's this, Libre Fatale, that whole intro, that is like ingrained in my brain, because I've restarted that game so many times, and I always just like adore that cutscene.
Okay, why does that cutscene make zero sense then?
It doesn't.
Exactly.
I've never played it.
You go through, there's a beach, and then there's some flowers, and then there's random words that appear on the screen, and you're just kind of left going, what's going
on?
Wait,
are you talking about Final Fantasy VIII?
Yes.
Oh, I think I'm talking about something else.
Yeah, and then there's two dudes fighting on a hilltop, and you're just kind of like, what? And then you find out later on that they're just sparring, and it looks like an epic battle, and there's epic battle music, and it's just, why
course,
am I watching
you
this?
Always spar with live weapons.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, you always scar, both people scar their faces up, you know?
And what does the ammo in the gunblade actually do? Is there an
extra
end of the barrel? Is there?
That's one thing I noticed. It's like, I'm wondering why there was no exit. I thought, because when I saw the gunblades, I didn't think they were actually usable as guns. I thought they were just creative handles for swords. I thought that was cool. And then when I found out you could actually blow shit up with it, I'm like, it's actually kind
of
lame.
It's more of a shotgun than anything. I mean, yeah, it's styled like a revolver, but
there is no barrel though. It just ends. It goes into the blade, and
it's
then there is
magic.
No barrel.
Final Fantasy, what do you
mini
want?
Midichlorians do it.
Yes, the midichlorians do it.
It's all about the midichlorians.
No.
Yes.
No. Not even going to go there.
Oh yeah, Star Wars was released on Blu-ray recently.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I refuse to consider buying it until I figure out whether it's the special edition or not, because I do not want to buy the first three movies
okay.
and the special edition ever because I hate them. And I had the original. I had the original movies on VHS back in the day.
So did I.
I still have them.
Those are the correct ones. And the special edition came out, and I was like, blasphemy!
Yeah, I didn't mind the special edition, but when they redid the special edition and threw Hayden Christensen in
five times
as the ghost dad at the end, when he looks on the bench and sees Obi-Wan and Yoda, and then he sees Hayden Christensen, I'm like, where the hell did he come from?
They did it twice, actually, because they had young Hayden Christensen when Episode 2 came out, and then they had older Hayden Christensen in a new edit after Episode 3 came out. It was bizarre and random, I don't know why. And
I'm confusing.
Yeah. And I just hate the whole concept of the whole special. Hand shot first. Yes.
Yes, they brought that up on Justified when he was... When Raylan Givens, played by Timothy Olyphant, antagonized the guy to draw on him by explaining that scene in Star Wars, where Han shot first.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, this reminds me of that scene in the cantina when Han Solo shoots the green feller. You know, they re-edited it because Han Solo shoots first, and he unclips his Glock from his holster, and the guy draws on him, and he shoots him. I'm like, wow, that wasn't antagonizing him to draw or anything.
But yeah, I'm just...
Justified's a great show, by the way. Anyway.
I can't bring myself to throw money at it if it's going to be more of the special edition nonsense. Because the special edition was good for one thing and one thing only. And that was, it got Star Wars, the original three movies, back in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
How long ago. So I actually got to see Star Wars in the theater when I was a kid. That was cool.
Wow.
Other than that, there was no purpose for it. It was just awful. I don't understand why they keep ruining the movie over and over again by adding more and more little horrible things to it.
I wish they would do that miniseries I heard them talk about. Because they were going to do like a miniseries that took place between 3 and 4, and it was going to follow Han Solo and his Imperial fighter pilot days.
I haven't heard about that.
I heard about it, like, years and years ago, and they just never did it. I heard they were going to get Ryan Reynolds for Han Solo. I'm like, he'd have been a good young Han Solo. He's going to talk about how he went AWOL from the Imperial fleet and linked up with Chewbacca and...
Screw it, just get Harrison Ford to play himself young.
Well, they did it in Tron.
Actually, I haven't seen Tron. Why not? So,
you haven't seen the new Tron movie?
I have not.
Well, Jeff Bridges plays himself old and young, and they just did just a fantastic work of CGI to make him look young. And if it wasn't for his old voice, I wouldn't have even been able to tell, honestly. It's fantastic. I'll give you the movie when we're done here.
Sure. Anyway, enough of that. Now we're going to take you live to California, where Atari is going to talk to you about some things.
At least it was live when he recorded it.
Thanks, guys. Yes, it's live while I'm recording it here in the middle of the night. This is the final approach segment of the show. It's the last little bit of the show here where you get to hear some words from your producer, and he gets to tell you about random things that are happening on the other side of the North American continent. Yes, it's Atari here in beautiful, sunny Southern California, which apparently, according to Hammy, is about the size of Metro Atlanta because, well, you know, Los Angeles is only, you know, it's only like, you know, 10 minutes away from San Diego, which is then 10 minutes away from San Francisco. At least that seems to be kind of the general idea with people who aren't from California. They forget that it's quite a big state. It's a good 8-hour drive between Northern and Southern California. But anyway, so here I am. I'm in LA. Yes, this is the final approach segment of the show, and where I got a minute and a half to tell you about different things. And since this is the first time I'm doing it, I'm just kind of basically explaining what's going on here, taking over the role of producer, and we're going to bring you as interesting a show as possible. So, Hemi and Drake and Loki, if he wants to continue running, because Loki, you're doing a great job, dude, they're going to have the show up until this point where I get to ramble on for a minute and a half, and you get to hear me, and it's got some really cool dramatic music from Top Gun, thanks to Harold Faltermeyer, and that is my final approach.
And thanks for tuning in to Afterburn. Make sure to like us on Facebook and like us in person because we like that sort of thing. And tonight's show was brought to you by Tula Munitions Works. No one should be able to have that much fun for that little money.
Dos Equis. I don't always drink beer, but my wife becomes much more attractive when I do.
And Middle Georgia College. The fuck is this?
And thanks for tuning in, kids. See you next time on Afterburn. Like the girls with the hooves. Watch your party with Pony.
3. These are the ponies I love the most. I wish you could all be Equestria girls.